Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Countrywide shortages in hormone replacement therapy are causing distress for many women who are going through hot flushes, mood changes, sleep deprivation, or any of the other symptoms that come with menopause. So what can you do if your preferred treatment is not available? And how do you recognise if you're in menopause or perimenopause? Well, I'm joined in the studio by GP and women's health expert, Dr. Deirdre Lundy. You're very welcome, Deirdre. Good to see you here.
Happy to be here.
And if you've any questions for Dr. Deirdre Lundy, do text them into us now. 51551 or today cb@rte.ie. Now, Deirdre, we've known for a couple of weeks that there's a problem, isn't there, with the HRT products. What are you finding when you're trying to get them for your patients? What's that story?
Well, this is going on for years. This is going on before COVID started. So interest in HRT and seeking help for the menopause is nothing new. There's been an uptick in the last 2 to 3 years, but unfortunately the supplies have not been able to respond quickly. So typically what happens is all the doctors prescribe one or other product, they run out of stock, so everybody quickly moves to the next best thing, that runs out of stock, that then we run to a third thing, then the first thing comes back, and it's a head wreck because the pharmacists are scrambling, the GPs and nurses are scrambling, and the patients are left frustrated.
I just wonder if it's a long-running problem, why it hasn't been fixed yet by the people who make these
I tried
things.
To do a deep dive, I won't bore you with it, but I think it has something to do with when you dig up a Mexican yam, you kill it. You know, I think it's to do with sourcing. A lot of the raw material comes out of China. It's not just
okay, so
laziness.
It's a complex supply chain
it's very
issue.
Complex. Yeah.
Anyway, for the people who are the users of these products, what are the ones then that you're seeing the biggest problems with?
Okay, so the good news is if you're healthy and your interest in HRT is such that you'd be suitable to take your estrogen by mouth as a tablet, there's never been any shortage. The problem is with what they call the body identicals, the high quality, expensive forms of HRT, the ones that are as close to the molecules that come out of your ovary, that's where all the demand is. Mm-hmm. They're more expensive. They're also considered to be healthier. They have no connection with blood clots or any of the other scary things that oral estrogen is known for. So that's where all the drama comes from.
So you've brought some of the products in,
I did.
I know people who are just listening to us on the radio won't be able to see this, but it's helpful for us to talk about it while we're seeing them and we can describe them.
So this was kind of the market leader for a long, long time. This is
Estradoc.
Estradot, a little patch, very popular product in Ireland and the UK. And, you know, life is difficult when you're a busy, overburdened GP. And a lot of people would say, I always prescribe this because I can remember the doses. I can remember, you know, it's easier for you. So this quickly ran out of stock. So then people were like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? So then we said, well, don't worry. There's an equivalent patch called Everell. And so, of course, that went out of stock. Then we said, well, if you can't get any patches, go for a gel. Now that went out of stock, but everything is recovering. So at the moment, this is back fully in stock, but it's allocated, meaning each individual pharmacist can only buy so many from the wholesaler so that there isn't another run.
Okay.
You know, it's like they're metering out, which makes sense, I think, you know. The Everell patches, again, back in stock, but being allocated. So you won't be able to go in and buy 6 of them. You'll only be maybe able to buy 1 or 2 at a time, which is frustrating because, you know, there's a dispensing fee each time you pick up a portion of a 6-month prescription. I'm not sure who's in charge of that, but I think that needs to be addressed. There's an equivalent to this one that has 2 hormones in it, estrogen and progesterone. It's called Everell Conti. Full stock, no allocation. So you can buy as much of that as you need, but don't go crazy because then it'll run out and I won't be able to get mine, and that cannot stand. And then lastly, the healthiest and the safest of the progestogens, which is this little fella here, Utrogestan. There's no stock problems with her so far, thank God.
Yeah. So doctors then, like yourself, you're having to say, give my patient this. If that's not available, give my patient this.
I write an essay on the prescription. Okay. I would like this patient to have a 50 microgram equivalent of estrogen, whether that be in 2 pumps of this or 1 sachet of that or this patch or that patch, just so that the pharmacist can have some autonomy.
And it's very hard then for the patient because you might find that something just suits you a little better than something else.
That's a huge problem. And you would imagine 50 micrograms is 50 micrograms. That's not true. It's not only that people absorb hormones slightly differently, depending on the delivery system. It's also, I don't know what it is. It is very subjective. I mean, any is better than none, but sometimes you struggle to find the one that suits you best. And then when you find it, to discover you can't buy it anymore is really annoying.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose it depends on which pharmacy you're going to as well.
Completely.
Because their access is going to vary and differ.
Well, that's where the allocation came from. So they're rather than go to the big chains and let them buy up all the product, which, you know, and that's fair if your local chemist is mm-hmm. a big chain. So like, say when I was working in Bray for all those years, my local guy there, Alton, he would have been a bit of a menopause HRT guru because I was sending everybody to him. So, you know, there are some pharmacies that are really into
HRT. They're ready for it, yeah.
And others who, you know, maybe they don't get that much demand and they see what's on the shelf. And if it's not on the shelf, it could be a struggle to get it in.
There's been a bit of a revolution, hasn't there, around HRT? And that's due in no small part to yourself and your appearance on Liveline and other programmes where you've been talking about this and promoting it. But HRT, having it and using it, makes a huge difference to people.
For many people, it's a lifesaver. There's no question about it. For most people, it's completely irrelevant. Most women who go through the menopause do not suffer so severely that they need anything at all. So, you know, I think when you listen to the media coverage about it and Davina and all the rest of it, you'd be thinking, like, everybody should be on it. We should all be, you know, prescribed it with the birth of our last baby or something. That's not true. Only the tip of the iceberg are people who are really desperate. I don't want young women fearing what's waiting for them. Mm-hmm. You know, like some people are afraid of childbirth and other, you know, that kind of a thing. Things are better now than they've ever been before. And the shortages are a head wreck, but that's a temporary problem. We will get over that.
Okay. So who should be taking HRT?
So there are classic physical and emotional symptoms, psychological symptoms that are basically what they call pathognomonic. You can smell the menopause off a person. So vasomotor symptoms, flushes, sweats, disturbed sleep at night is classic. Chronic fatigue, low mood, mood changes among the psychological ones, classic. I mean, lots of people can have depression, anxiety. But if you've been relatively well blessed in that area and then you hit your 40s and you discover, oh my God, like I got PMS off the charts, that's probably the beginning of the menopause.
Mm-hmm. And when that happens and it starts to affect your quality of life, that's when you need
that's
to start thinking
help.
About
yeah.
HRT.
Yeah.
What type of HRT?
Yeah, well, it depends. So there's all different types. Like if you're fit, healthy, non-smoking, and you maybe say have been on the pill without an incident or have had kids without any problems, there's nothing to stop you just taking a tablet HRT. And there's no limit to access on them. They're cheap. They're easy to use. You take a pill every day. Women who bleed take their estrogen every day, but they take their second hormone, the progestogen, sequentially, on and off, to mimic a cycle. Women whose periods are naturally finished, you know, older women like myself, we take a little bit of progestogen every single day so as to keep the womb lining dry and thin and keep us bleed free. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of artistry in there, you know. It does take a career getting used to how to blend.
And who takes testosterone then?
The ovary produces three different estrogens, one progestogen, and four different types of male hormone, testosterone among them. And a lot of women will notice that as they approach their menopause, their final menstrual period, and their symptoms kick in, sometimes their interest in sex, their libido, their ability to get aroused or achieve orgasm really takes a hit. So that is the only licensed indication for adding testosterone to the HRT cocktail, is somebody with what they call reduced sexual arousal disorder. But there's a lot of interest in testosterone. Now, it's not bad to prescribe it for other things, but it's probably unwise because it really has only been proven to be beneficial for sex drive. Mm-hmm. You know, like I know a lot of people are buzzing about brain fog at the moment and saying my clarity, my focus, my concentration didn't really improve until you added in the testosterone. Now, so that needs to be addressed. But at the moment, the data isn't there. I'm not saying you couldn't try it. I'm saying it's not licensed for that purpose.
And there are side effects that you need to watch out for.
If you mind yourself and you don't abuse it, they're very few and far between. But, you know, it's human nature. If a little is good, a lot must be better. And, you know, with excess use of male hormone at women's doses, you can end up with a bit of male pattern hair growth. I mean, mind you, I'm not on testosterone and I'm plucking more than I ever did. It's like that's menopause is getting hairy, you know. But we're not trying to transgender people here. We're just trying to add back in the amount of male hormone that they would have had, say, 4 or 5 years ago.
Prior to menopause. Yeah. There's also a misconception, isn't there, that your problems start when your periods end?
Oh, no, no. It actually usually, I would say at least 2 to 5 years before your final menstrual period, you will notice symptoms. Now, they may not be permanent. You may find, God, did I imagine that? Or did I just have a rotten 2 or 3 months? And then you might recover. So you can get a kind of an on again, off again shots of symptoms in the early phases, which they call the perimenopause. So you're still cycling, you're still having periods, you still need to use contraception if you're, you know, hetero. But you're starting.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It's all happening, right? A listener here has been in touch to say, and very many of them have been onto us, so let's fly through some. I'm 63, post-menopause for more than 6 years, but my hot flushes have returned over the last year, waking me up in a ball of sweat in the mornings, during the day, random times, no warning. Is there anything I can do?
Well, it's never too late to try HRT, although we're very, very cautious with people over 60. Okay, because 60 is a bit of a watershed when it comes to the health of the blood vessels that supply your heart and your brain. So, you know, these plaques that can form and give you strokes and heart attacks, usually you're quite protected against them as a female until you hit 60, and then things kind of change. So if we're going to prescribe for someone of that age group, we would usually want to make sure we've excluded other things. And people with low-grade heart problems can get flushes and sweats. Smokers get a lot of flushes and sweats. So I would probably pursue other areas of healthcare before I would just automatically prescribe HRT. But,
okay.
But having tried that, if the lady was willing, I would happily give her, yeah.
But there might be something else at play there.
Yeah.
This 46-year-old still has regular periods, but over the past few years, I've noticed in the days leading up to my period, I'm a ball of nerves. I could burst into tears over nothing. Anxiety is crippling. The most basic of tasks are insurmountable. I'm always shocked in the days after my period just how low I felt beforehand. Now, what does that sound like?
That sounds like PMS to me. So it could be menopause. It could be premenstrual syndrome, premenstrual dysphoric disorder. So this person really needs to talk to a healthcare GP nurse who's au fait with female hormones and the nuances of female hormones. But it could be perimenopause as well. 47 is the sweet spot for menopause. Mm-hmm. So
how do you diagnose that? How do you diagnose perimenopause?
Listening and talking. Mm-hmm. Sadly, there isn't a damn blood test. I mean, there are, but they're really expensive and they're used experimentally, things like inhibin B and stuff like that. So that's really where the hurdle is, isn't it? If we had just a little blood test, it'd make life so much easier for everybody. So you just listen, you get a sense with experience of, now the treatments are very similar. So it's quite possible that you're not sure whether it's PMS or perimenopause or a bit of both. And then gradually, empirically, by trying this and trying that, you'll eventually find a solution. Mm-hmm. But it is time consuming.
Then on that, this listener would like to know, can I start taking HRT before major symptoms start? So trying to get ahead of it. This person gets occasional mood swings. I don't sleep that well. I'm 47.
There is no protocol for starting it without symptoms, unless you've had what they call premature ovarian failure, unless you've had menopause before 40. So if you're, say, 22 and you don't have periods and they do some tests and they realize you're already in the menopause, symptoms or not, you should be on hormones, because a female in her 20s and 30s needs hormones to protect her brain, her heart, you know, her bones. It's unhealthy to have low estrogen at that level. It's kind of normal for me to have low estrogen, you know. So like for that person, I would say, well, you kind of sound like you already are getting symptoms when you describe the sleep and the mood. You know what I mean? So
that's not a preemptive strike.
No,
there.
I wouldn't
that
say
that person
so.
May actually need to be beyond
well, what she's
HRT.
Describing would be the first warning signs of perimenopause, as far as I know. Okay. I mean, it could be other things as well, of course. Sometimes you need to do a full history and listen to the family story and the background and say, well, what about your thyroid? And, you know, what about these 10-day clotty periods you've been having? Maybe you're anemic. Maybe we should do something about, you know, so there can be other elements to why people get tired, why they don't sleep. But if you're 40-something and you've got classic menopause, you know,
where do people
not
start when they want to have these
GP
conversations? Yeah, but their GP may not be somebody who is expert in this area.
My suggestion would be to email, because good luck trying to get anybody on the phone. So you could email the surgery or a selection of surgeries and say, I'm really interested in talking about menopause. Is there a particular practitioner that would be willing to talk to me. But then a lot of surgeries are not taking on new clients. Mm-hmm. So you might be better off considering somewhere like a family planning clinic or a well woman center, which, okay, admittedly, they're private, you got to pay. And if you have a medical card, that's not fair. But they certainly would have a gathering of expertise without question.
Deirdre, been great to talk to you. We'll have you back again because so many questions have come in to us. That's Dr. Deirdre Lund.